All right, assalamu alaikum, everybody. Welcome back to Exploring the Quran. Alhamdulillah. Ooh, this mic gets more and more sensitive every week. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabb ishrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi zidni ilma. All right. So, alhamdulillah, we've been talking about the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And we've been spending time, kind of the entire theme of this Halaqa series is finding faith in the midst of trial. And what we want to highlight through the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is that trial does not look in one way. So sometimes people think that difficulties and hardships, they have to be exhibited in the same way, or someone has to take it in the same way. But what we're learning, especially from the beginning of the surah, we see that Yusuf alayhi salam is in a situation that objectively is difficult, but we're also seeing the difficulty and the trial and tribulation of that situation being transferred or having effect or like a dotted line to his father, Yaqub alayhi salam. And so two people can be existing within the same difficulty or be existing in the same situation, but that difficulty level or that difficulty burden or whatever you want to call it could be different for each of those individuals. Now we're at a place in the story where Yusuf alayhi salam is kind of like on his own. And we talked a little bit last week about loneliness and feeling by yourself, but recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you through the journey, right? It's not just a light at the end of the tunnel, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides a nur for us through that journey. And in recognition of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the understanding of what he did to give Yusuf alayhi salam this protection. And so in verse number 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ, and when he reached this level of maturity, أَتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا, we gave him this wisdom and we gave him knowledge. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and thus, this is how we reward those who are righteous, people who do good, people who try their best with the circumstance and the cards that they've been dealt. Then the reward of you trying your best is that God gives you more understanding and he gives you wisdom and how to apply that understanding. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us to this next portion of the story of Yusuf. Now remember, Yusuf alayhi salam is in the home of the Aziz, which is the minister. And he gave his wife very clear instructions, okay? He tells his wife that let's give him a place that is very honorable, as in like we're going to give him a position, we'll give him a job, he'll be here to do some things, like clean around the house, be there to pick up things if they need to be picked up, like he was a servant in the home. But he tells his wife that we might be able to adopt this kid like as a child, essentially. So let's make sure that we treat him in a way that is honorable and that is good. So this is the scene that Yusuf alayhi salam is in. It's very interesting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does interject right in there that we gave him wisdom and we gave him knowledge. Why? Because the next events that follow in the life of Yusuf, it is so important for him to not only have an understanding of what Allah expects from him, but to have the wisdom and applying that, and then to be very firm in faith, to be able to transgress one's own desire and one's own feelings, to be able to properly act in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a person to act. And I know that all sounds very coded, but essentially, we are going to see a situation where Yusuf alayhi salam, his rights are being violated. And how does he react to that situation? It is in and of itself that act of his rights being violated, trial and tribulation, but reacting and being able to stop yourself or to be able to say that this is not okay too is a difficult trial. So what happens when you're facing a difficulty within a difficulty? And this is that next section that we're going to see. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا النَّفْسِ, that the woman in which he lived in her home, tried to seduce him. And the interesting thing here is that it almost translates to she tried to take him away from himself, in the sense of taking someone away from what they would normally do, or trying to convince someone other than what their own intellect would have told them. Yusuf alayhi salam is a prophet. So for him, he knows that this is something that is not okay. So the way that is presented is that she tried to seduce him. She tried to take him away from what he knew. And then it says, وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ. And she went and she bolted the doors. Now, there's one thing for someone to say something that is inappropriate. There's another thing for someone to catcall, right? Like to really be, if she was to really be talking to him a lot and all these things, that's another thing. But to set someone up to be in a situation that is compromising, do not give them an out from that situation, and then call them to something that is against what they would want to do, is another level of darkness and wrong. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. She then looked at him, and she said to him, come to me. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. Yusuf alayhi salam then responded, and he said, God forbid. Now, typically, when we want the protection of Allah, we will say, A'udhu billah, right? We'll say, A'udhu billah. I seek refuge in the protection of Allah. Ma'ad Allah is like very short. And so what the Arabic language does for us is that it gives us not only an understanding of the situation, but the emotion behind it. And so it being shortened means that this was a very intense situation. And it was almost like he really had to think on his feet. And the reason why I say the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَآتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَإِلْمًا, and we gave him this إِلْمًا وَحُكْمًا, we gave him this knowledge and this wisdom, is that Yusuf alayhi salam knows what to say. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him maturity. He gave him knowledge. He gave him wisdom. If he was still a child, okay, this is how we know that he wasn't a child anymore. He had reached the age of maturity. If he was still a child, he may not have known what to do, right? He would have been in a very compromising situation with someone who's supposed to be his caretaker, someone who is older than him, someone who has more knowledge than him, and he would have been in that situation in a way that he wouldn't know how to react. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, he's at a point where he has his maturity, he has his wisdom, he has his knowledge from Allah, he knew how to react. And so he says, ma'ad Allah. And then he says, innahu rabbi ahsana mathwaya. He says that my master, and he's referring to actually the Aziz, right? The one who allowed me to live in this house, or has told you to give me an honorable place to live, he has been nothing but good to me. He's given me all types of goodness. Innahu la yuflihu dhalimun. And those who do wrong will never prosper. And so Yusuf alayhi salam is literally telling her that this is not going to happen. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Fussilat, إِنَّمَا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, that whenever shaitan comes to you with some type of evil type of suggestion, نَزْغُن فَاسْتَعِدْ بِاللَّهِ, then your responsibility is to seek refuge in the protection of Allah. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Why? Because Allah is all hearing and he's all aware. Compromising situations, there are so many times where people will say, I would never be that person. A lot of times, that can never be me. Especially when you're like a teenager or like a young adult, your thought process is always, I'm stronger than that. I will never do that. I'm never going to talk to my kids in this way. I'm never going to do this. I'm never. You know why they say never? Because you always, you may end up in that situation and you may be tested. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't tell us never end up in this compromising situation. Yes, when it comes to things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? Ijtanibu, stay far away. Why? Because sometimes the path to something is a lot worse than the actual act of it. And sometimes you being in a certain environment, being around certain people, interacting with certain things, those are the things that gets a person very used to it, right? So we're sitting here, we're listening to this, and we're like, we will never be Zulaykha. We can never be the wife of the Aziz. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will protect every single one of us from that. But you have to ask yourself, what am I doing to protect myself? Because if you're watching movies that has lewd things in it, if you're listening to things that are lewd, if you're interacting and reading books that are inappropriate, then how do you know you're not changing your psyche to think that these things are okay? That's a very important question that you have to ask yourself. And though you may think to yourself that, oh, okay, like, actually, I'm okay, like, it's fine, like, I know this is not real, but then you interact with it so much so that it becomes normal, right? What are you doing to yourself? You're making it more and more okay. You're making it more and more acceptable. And so here you have a situation where Yusuf alayhi salam's rights are being violated. And the first thing that he does is he's able to call to Allah. Why? Because that's what's on his mind. For him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always on his mind. So he's able to recognize a situation that is not great. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدَ حَمَّتْ بِهِ, that she had so much like desire for him. وَحَمَّ بِهَا, and he could have had desire for her. لَوْلَا أَنْ رَأَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ, had it not been that he saw the light that his Lord had provided for him. And what is that light? That light is guidance. We don't get to determine morality and what is right and wrong by our own will. And what that means is that I can think something is right today, and tomorrow I change my mind. When you look at pre-Islamic Arabia, they were dead set convinced that burying their daughters alive was okay. They were dead set convinced that if somebody didn't come from a certain tribe and they didn't come from notoriety, then it was okay for them to take their wealth. They were convinced that the bloodshed between tribes were not a big deal. They were convinced that children can fight in war. They were convinced that the entire environment did not matter and they could burn down trees and all these different things in the middle of battle. They were convinced of these things to the point where you're not persecuted by the law if you did it. So are we saying that human beings have the ability to be objective throughout their entire life? They don't. We don't. Why? Because if anything, the slightest inconvenience in our emotion sets us on fire. We're ready to rage at any moment. You may think that you have your entire emotion together. I can be objective. What about if your child was facing that situation? Ask yourself, would you be objective? The answer is no. Someone will say, well, this is the law. And you will say, well, give them the worst of it and then some. This is why morality is not something that is dictated by us. Your nafs will convince you of a million different things. Your nafs will tell you that this is okay and that's okay. And you will feel so convinced on it. You're ready to do a whole presentation. Whole thing. Tell someone else, like, this is what we have to do. I'm going to rally behind this. Anybody that has anything to say opposite of what you're saying, you're like, actually, you're a complete op. Like, you're literally a hater. You're not on my side. That's how we are. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us is that he provided this knowledge, this wisdom, this understanding, this guidance, this light. Iman is light, is burhan. Why? Because it illuminates other things. It brings things into understanding for you. It makes things clear. In parts where maybe your brain and your emotion cannot tell you the right direction or decision that you should make, your iman and your faith shows you that right direction and that right decision that you should make, even if it goes against what you feel in the depths of you. But guess what? When you follow what your faith says, you will never make the wrong decision. You will never be wrong. You will always come out on top. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he could have desired her, but he had that knowledge and he had that wisdom and he had that guidance. And that guidance was a light, an evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ. And this light, this evidence, this clarity that God gave him was in order to keep him away from, so is like evil, right? So is evil. It is not just like things that are bad. No. It is maliciousness. It is a type of evil that people try to convince other people is good, you know? And if somebody try to convince you like, oh, I do this thing, it's not really that big of a deal, so don't worry about it. Yeah, that's wrong. Why? Because you recognize it was wrong and you went through the effort to try to convince somebody else that it's not. That's evil. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, fahsha. And fahsha, it is actually not evil as much as it is indecency. Right? It is just things that are not okay. It is a lewd act. It's things that are inappropriate. It is things that do not sit well with your spirit. And it may not be something that is completely the worst thing possible, but you see it and you're like, I don't know. That doesn't feel good. But let me tell you something about fahsha. The more you engage in it, the more it becomes easy. The more you're like, oh, actually, it's not that big of a deal. The first time you may see something that you think is inappropriate, it's like an effect that is like, it takes over your whole body. You're like, oh my God, that's terrible. Can't believe I saw that. The second time is like, I'm just not gonna look. The third time you're like, it's not me, not my problem. Fourth time, you don't even have a comment. You have nothing to say, you don't feel anything, right? So fahsha is something that a person could easily fall into. They're not guarding and taking care of their heart. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَسِينَ, that indeed he was truly one of our chosen servants. In Surah Al-Shams, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the nafs, okay? And he says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. He swears by the nafs, the part of you, your soul, or your soul, your lower half. And what this means is that there are three different types or levels to it. I think different types is better. And they all exist within a person. So there's your nafs al-amara bisu', your nafs al-lawama, and nafs al-mutmainna. Amara bisu' calls you to bad. You know what? You should go. I was going to make a really bad example, and I'm not going to do that. Okay, I'll tell you guys later. You should go burn a tree down. No reason at all. It's just because you want to. Nafs al-amara bisu' gets happy when you do things that are wrong. Nafs al-lawama, maybe you should burn the tree down. Maybe you shouldn't. But if you burn it down, you'll feel okay. But maybe you won't. Just do it. Let's see what happens. You do it. Why'd you burn the tree down? That's nafs al-lawama. Doesn't know what it wants. Dunya, akhira, one foot here, one foot there. Nafs al-mutma'inna. It is the part of you that if you continue to cultivate it, it feels so happy to worship Allah. It feels very good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and he swears by the nafs. Why? Because you're meant to render your nafs into submission. That is your job. Your entire job, your whole life, is to render your nafs into submission. And there are parts of you that you think are not connected to your faith, but 100% it is. Like eating is a part of your faith. If a person cannot control what they eat, they cannot control their nafs. You can't. If you cannot control what you consume, it is very, you will not control praying on time. That's just the reality of it, right? If a person cannot control what they say, that is a part of your nafs. You can't control what you say. You can't control your adhkar. It's just a reality of it. So there are other parts in your life that you need to actually get under control and into submission. Even though I can have this cookie right now, I'm not going to have it. Because not everything you can have means you should have it. And that's what your nafs needs to understand. And thus, it then gets more and more happy and content with worshiping Allah. Why? Because part of worshiping Allah is what? Submission. And so it recognizes something that's very familiar to it. But when you just say, okay, rituals on this side, and the rest of my life is on this side, you've divorced religion, which is deen, and your way of life from your actual way of being able to submit to Allah. And you can't do that. Why? Because as believers, we're meant to be holistic beings. We're meant to be holistic people. This is why there's a dua before you eat. There's a dua before you sleep. This is why there are practices that the Prophet encourages us to when we are eating. It is every part of your existence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the nafs. He says, "Wa nafsin wa ma sawaha," and by the soul and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proportioned it so perfectly. "Wa alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha," and he inspired it. It is inspired by means of wickedness or by means of righteousness. So it can go either way. There's two spectrums. There's Amara Besot. The other spectrum is Mutmainna. What is in the middle? Lawama. Okay, so she's being pulled back and forth. She's just a she because it's a woman's class. Okay. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. So what gets, who gets to be on top? Who gets to win? Who gets to be the most successful? The one who purifies it. You're not able to really render your nafs into submission unless you purify it. There are two parts of tazkiyah. There is removing that which is bad, and then the second part of it is adding that which is good. And that's the beautification aspect. So someone may say that tazkiyah is my sunnah prayer. Tazkiyah is my fasting. Tazkiyah is my charity. And that's true, but that's only half. It's only half. And if you drove a car that has four wheels, well, only two of them, are you going anywhere? The answer is no. You're not going to get there. There's another part of that car that you need to fix. And that is that there are things in there that need to be purified. If you had a half cup of water that was dirty and you put clean water inside of it, are you still going to drink it? No. Why? Because if you're drinking, you're nasty. I just want you to know that. Okay? Because the water is still dirty. You have to pour out and clean out what's in there first, and you can add clean water into it. Now, the beauty and the compassion of Allah, that He allows us to do both at the same time. That you can gain a lot out of slowly removing things that need to be removed, but also adding that beautiful aspect to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, that whoever purifies it, then that person has truly succeeded. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, but the one who allows and instills in it corruption, then for that person, they've truly lost out on what life is about. They've truly failed in what they were supposed to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this understanding that Yusuf alayhi salam is faced with an impossible situation, and he's faced in a way that perhaps maybe someone else would have fell into this trap, but because he has that tazkiyah to nafs, okay, because he has worked on himself, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that guidance and gave him that knowledge, and he was able to use his faith not just as something that is in the corner, but a way of life, then he did not fall into this trap. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the second part of the rest of the story. Now remember, the Quran is not a storybook. And since it's not a storybook and we have this place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing us with so much detail, then perhaps there's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to pay attention to. So he says, وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ, that they both raced towards the door. وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيسَهُ مِنْ دُبُرٍ, and then she tore her shirt from behind. وَأَلْفَيَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَى الْبَابِ, and at the door, they both met her husband. So they're racing to the door. She tries to pull him back. The shirt rips from behind, and they meet her husband at the door. قَالَتْ, she then starts to speak very quickly. And she says, مَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ أَرَادَ بِأَهْلِكَ سُوءًا. Well, what is the punishment or the payment that someone should get if they want evil for your family? إِلَّا أَنْ يُسْجَنَ أَوْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. She says, I think there's only two options. That person either should go to jail or they should be punished in a very painful way. And essentially what she's trying to do in this situation is she's trying to frame Yusuf alayhi salam. And she's trying to make it seem like he's the one who tried to seduce her. Qala, then Yusuf alayhi salam responded and he said, Hiya rawadatni an nafsi. She is the one who tried to seduce me. She tried to take me away from myself. And then he says, then it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa shahida shahidun min ahliha, that a member from her household then suggested a solution. Okay? And he says, In kana kamisuhu qutta min qubrin, if it's the case that his shirt has been torn from the front, فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ, then she has told the truth and he's amongst the liars. وَإِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ, but if it's the case that his shirt, قُدَّ مِنْ دُبْرٍ, it is torn from the back, فَكَذَبَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, then she's telling a lie and he's from amongst those who are truthful. فَلَمَّا رَأَى قَمِيسَهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ And when they found out and they saw that his shirt was ripped from the behind, قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِ كُنَّ They said that indeed this is from a plan of this person, of a woman. Like, you made this plan. And you were thinking quick on your feet. Now, what's interesting here is that people, they will ask, well, why is it from a plan of a woman? Okay, what are you trying to say about women? I think it's important that as we approach the Quran, we put our baggage to the side. It is so important. You know why? Because sometimes you miss out on things that are very important for you to learn about because you're so focused on thinking that God is trying to attack you when he's not. And sometimes we allow so many outside noises to determine how our relationship with Allah should be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you how your relationship with him should be. And he's literally opening the door to you. He's literally offering you so much. Now, don't get me wrong. During the time of the Prophet, one of the wives of the Prophet actually came to him. And she said, listen, every time we recite or we listen to the Quran, you recite verses, it's always like, oh, him. Now remember, the Arabic language, the masculine is inclusive of both male and female. And the feminine is not inclusive, which is why the feminine is normally not used. She knows this, okay? She knows this, but we're women. And you know what we do? We like to ask a lot of questions. So she said, when are we going to get something for ourselves? And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? Say, al-muslimuna wal-muslimat, al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minat. Right? To the submissive woman and to submissive man. To the believing woman, to the believing man. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does entertain and answer those questions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us that so that we can put our baggage to the side when we are seeing verses like this. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, he's not saying that men have never done anything like this. He's saying that you have so much intellect and this is what you came up with. These are the plans that you do, right? Like, women don't think about one thing. They don't. I bring this example all the time. My brothers to wash the dishes, what are they going to do? Barely wash the dishes. If I tell my sister to wash the dishes, she'll wash the dishes, wipe the counter, sweep the floor, mop the floor, you know, and then put on some type of incense to make the house smell good. And when we ask somebody to wash the dishes, what are we expecting? Wash the dishes, wipe the counter, sweep the floor, mop the floor, put on some incense. So there are so many things that we are thinking of, and we're always planning ahead. So when she has this ability to reply so quickly, literally they meet him at the door, and she's like, what do you say about somebody who's trying to do wrong to your family? Then what does that mean? It means that she had it a part of her plan. It was something that she was already thinking of. She already had a backup plan to the backup plan. And so here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us this amount of detail for us to pay attention. And I love that this class is like a woman-only class and the internet. Okay, I have to always remember that part. Because it's important for us to have very real conversations. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us, right? We're not a men-hating club either, God. Okay, no. But we're women only talking to one another. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with so much, we have to also remember to use it in the right way. You know, we have the ability to multitask. We have the ability to think ahead of the plan. We think of backup plans to backup plans. Okay. When I see my brother leaves the house with his kids, I feel like it's really sad. Actually, there's always something forgotten, you know? Like, I'm like, did you not think about, like, what if they got hungry? It's like, I didn't even think about it. I have a friend, she's like, when I get on the plane, I pack snacks for my husband too. Like, all my kids and the husband. And I'm like, that's actually hilarious. Because she's like, because I know he's going to forget that it's actually 2 hours instead of 3 hours, and he's going to get hangry, and then everybody's not going to be happy. And I'm like, you have so much thought in your mind. So what I'm really trying to bring to light is that the things that sometimes we don't like, we're like, oh, as women, we have this, and we have to do all this, and we have to do that. Maybe it's time for us to start thinking of it as a blessing. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much ability and so much capability. And he's showing us that, listen, you could actually do something that is great with that, or you could do something that is not so great with that. And then he says, that indeed you guys, this plan that you're able to come up with is like actually really bad. Like you're like so good at being able to manipulate a situation. That's kind of crazy. This is what Lashmata is showing us, that you didn't just cover it up a little bit. You were really going to put him in jail or cause him to become like have a punishment. And it was like, here, let me provide solutions to you. It wasn't even, let's investigate. What do you say about a person who wants to come and harm your family? A true man cares about the protection of his family. So she didn't say, what do you say about a person who tries to seduce your wife? She didn't say that. She said, what do you try to say about a person who wants to cause harm and destruction to your family? As a minister, as someone who's in a position of power, as someone who's always protecting and worried about protecting his family, where do you think his mind went? Oh, that person's finished. And she says, well, there's two options, jail or punishment. Doesn't even give him time to think. And it doesn't say that he was the one who said, let's provide a solution. No. Someone from the household was like, wait a second. Wait a minute. Let's just figure it out first. If the shirt is ripped from this way, then this is the truth. If it's ripped from that way, then this is the truth. Why? Because we cannot put someone in a situation or punish them for something that they did not commit. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yusufu a'arid an hadha. Yusuf alayhi salam, he actually just overlooked this whole thing. Let me tell you why. Because after this was done, the solution was, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it. We're just going to leave it as such. We're going to ignore it like it never happened. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that it says, he said to, the minister said to Yusuf, Yusufu a'arid an hadha, just it never happened, overlook it. And then he said to his wife, wastaghfiri li dhanbik, and you should seek forgiveness for your sins. So then it became nothing else. And he says, innaki kunti min al-khati'in, that indeed you're amongst those who have done wrong. You've committed mistakes. So the nature of a community is that people start to do what? Whisper. So there's a lot of whisperings happening. وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. Then a lot of the women gathered together, some of the women of the city, they gathered together, and they started to talk. And they said, إِمْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَن نَفْسِهِ. That the wife of the Aziz then tried to seduce her servant, and fataha means like an assistant. So she tried to seduce the one who lived in her home away from himself, or tried to take him away from himself. قَدَ شَغَفَهَا حُبًّا. And they then said that the love that she had for him consumed her, just took over her. إِنَّ لَنَرَاهَا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And then they said, it's clear that she has gone astray, like she's wrong. Now, this is actually where we're going to stop. And I know this is a cliffhanger because the next part of the story is like really, you know, interesting. But I want to stop here because there are two aspects of this. The first thing is the fighting temptation part, that in order for a person to really be able to fight against things that your nafs naturally calls you to, you have to be very strong in your faith. And what that means is actually sometimes test is able to strengthen your faith a little bit more, right? Sometimes you actually don't know what you're capable of, and you actually don't know what you're capable of saying no to until something interesting happens and you're like, wow, I made it through. And sometimes you don't, and you make a mistake, and you learn from there, I need to have my faith to be stronger. So the first thing that we learned from the story, this portion of the story, is that Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says that Yusuf alayhi salam would have been tempted towards this thing had he not had light. When we read that, we're thinking to ourselves, well, obviously it's Yusuf. He's a prophet. God has given him knowledge, given him wisdom. He's given him all these things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each and every single one of us in this room iman. He's given us all faith. And iman nur, faith is light. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too has given you as well this light. And it's time to use your faith as a means of being able to decipher the things in your life that are right and wrong. When you're going to watch something, you need to ask, is this in agreement with my faith? Right? I was teaching a Minna class. It's so interesting. Every Tuesday. It's like the most random thing in the world. Okay? It's like these like 16 girls that I keep thinking they live in Dallas and they live in like Canada. Okay? It's like the most random thing. And we were learning about, actually in the Tuskegee class too, we did this. And we were learning about like what you watch or whatever. So one little girl, she goes, yeah, like if anybody, I would ask myself, if anybody knew what I was watching, if I would be okay with it. I said, that's a very good question. It's a very good question to ask yourself. Now, if you're not okay with a human being knowing what you watch, then why are you okay with Allah knowing that you watch that? That's the question. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala matters so much more than anyone on this earth and anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is where you have to put your priority. So if you want to be a person, if we want to be people who can fight against temptation, difficulty, and hardship when it comes to us, then it's really important for us to be people who protect what we consume and we protect what we watch. The second thing that I think is very important, and the reason why I kind of want to stop here, is because not the session's not ending, but stopping here in this portion of the surah, is because we see how it ends off. We see this portion of the surah, the story, ending right here, where they say that, you know, she was completely in the wrong. And where do we start? We started off with what? Oh, I will never be that person. I will never do this. I will never do that. Do you think Zulaikha, when this boy, this young boy came to her home, she automatically assumed that this is the situation that occurred to her? No. Maybe she too was like, of course, you can't be a servant, blah, blah. But then Yusuf alayhi salam grew up in her home. And the prophecy tells us that Yusuf alayhi salam had half of the beauty of the entire world. Not like half of the beauty of, like, I hear Northern Michigan is nice, and so since Nur is here, I will shout out Michigan. Even though Switzerland's probably much prettier. So not half of the beauty of Switzerland, okay? See, you thought I was going to be nice to Michigan. Nope. Right? Psych. Okay? So not half of the beauty of Switzerland, not half of the beauty of the most beautiful person you've ever seen, half of the beauty of the world. Just because someone has something does not give you the right to violate someone's rights. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. Just because someone has a nice car doesn't mean that you can wish bad upon them. Just because someone has a nice home doesn't mean you can wish bad upon them. It doesn't mean that. It just means that, guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed that person with that thing. And now you have a responsibility of doing right by it. Now these women, they're outside throwing stones at someone else. And when they're faced with that entire situation, who knows if they're going to be able to actually uphold this high and mighty morality that they're speaking about. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, and he's going into detail about these things because it's important for us to know that we have to be people who are very strong in our faith, and we have to maintain that strength. When the Prophet ﷺ, in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, we see this time and time again, that there are people, and this may even seem like a very different situation, but temptation is temptation. There are people who spent years torturing the Muslims. Not just one time, not twice, and even that would be bad, but over 10 years torturing the Muslims. And when the Prophet ﷺ, before the Battle of Badr, after the Muslims migrated to Medina, the Prophet sent a group of companions to the trade route between Ta'if and Mecca, excuse me. And he told them that don't do anything. When you go there, don't do anything, just watch. Just look at them, see what they're doing. It's like a spy, essentially. And if you think your government's not spying on you, great. Okay? I love that you're delusional. Okay? So he says, don't do anything. They go. One of the companions, they see the someone that had been torturing them for many years, and they get overwhelmed with their emotion, and they kill them. They kill them. And there were some other people that were there, and so two of them were made hostage. They were taken to Medina, and the Prophet, they go to Medina, and Prophet said, why'd you do it? He said, I told you not to do it. And they said, well, we got overwhelmed with our emotion. Like, these people used to torture us. They treat us in this way. At that moment, the Prophet too was tortured. The Prophet too was not treated well. The Prophet too was treated badly, not only by himself, but in front of his children, in front of his family. So in that moment, the Prophet could have said, what was done is done. Yeah, we'll keep these people as hostages. We'll keep it pushing. Did he do that? No, he didn't. He went to their families. First, the people that were brought as hostages, he said, these are not hostages. Take them out. Like, they're not here as prisoners. Let them go. Like, they're fine. They didn't let them go to Mecca because they didn't want them to claim that they escaped. So they said, your people have to come and get you. No ransom. Why? Because we're not in war. And then he paid the blood money for the people, for the person who was killed. To show what? Listen, like, this was not our intention. This is not what we had. Now you fast forward to many years later, where the Battle of Uhud, well, a year later, or a year and a half later, the Battle of Uhud occurs. In the Battle of Uhud, you have so many people that the Prophet loves so much that pass away. You have Mus'ab ibn Umair has passed away, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala who passed away, the Prophet got hurt. Abu Sufyan comes and he proclaims to the top of his lungs, and he says that today you will find that you're great, the people that you consider to be giants, they have now fallen to war. And he says that you will find that some of them, their bodies have not been mutilated, and some of them, their bodies have been mutilated. And he says, I didn't command anybody to do it, but I didn't stop them anyway. Now, the thing is, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has such a close, loving relationship with the Prophet. It wasn't just that he was martyred, his body was mutilated, that his organs were harvested out of him. And so when the Prophet is going in the battlefield, can you imagine the hurt that he's feeling as he's seeing all of these people that he loves and cares for so much? And can you imagine how hurt he had felt when he walks past the body of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu and not only sees that he's passed away, he's martyred, but also that his body is mutilated, right? For us, we'll sit in that moment and we'll say what? I will never forgive the person who's done this. Then you fast forward years later, right before the conquest of Mecca, Abu Sufyan comes to the Prophet. First, he actually goes on like a little tour. He's going to every single person. He's like, can you talk to the Prophet? I know they're coming. Tell them it's okay. They're like, no, you don't have to talk to me. You need to talk to the Prophet. And when he goes to talk to the Prophet, and then he becomes Muslim, in that moment, do you think that you, sitting in this situation, knowing that you have someone so close to you that's like your brother, your sister that you love so much, and you're sitting in front of the person who watched them die and allowed them to die, and then also sat there and said, you know what? Yeah, if you want to take their organs, take their organs. And they came and they said, hey, I want to be your brother and sister in faith. What is your thought process? That part of you, your nafs, right? Because temptation is not only about lust. It's about your nafs telling you to do something that Allah is telling you to do the opposite of. Allah SWT is telling you what? Forgiveness is a thing. Allah SWT is telling you what? When someone enters into the fold of Islam, that the wrongs that they have done, it's fine. That is what Allah SWT is telling you. Allah SWT is telling the Prophet, you have a job, you have a responsibility, and that job and that responsibility is far beyond you. It's far beyond you. So what does the Prophet say when Abu Sufyan becomes Muslim? He says, not only are you safe, but anybody else who comes into your home is safe. And Abu Sufyan's like, well, there's a lot of people kind of, Prophet is like, okay, everybody who goes into this home and this home and this home is safe. He's like, well, there's kind of more. The Prophet is like, okay, anybody that you think is safe. That is what the Prophet says. Can you imagine how difficult that moment must be? What about Wahshi, the one who actually committed the killing of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who enters into the fold of Islam very shortly after? Can you imagine being in that situation, facing the person who caused wrong and harm to your family, and having to say, you know what, this is beyond me? Yeah, so when we are faced with these difficulties that we have in life, and we're faced with these hardships, and we're tempted to be the worst person, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that most definitely, without a doubt, you will find in the Messenger of Allah a very perfect role model. Why? Because every hardship you think you have gone through, the Prophet ﷺ has faced much worse. Every temptation you think you cannot fight, the Prophet ﷺ is literally telling us, listen, there's something worse than your own temptation for something that's your own satisfaction. What about when you have to fight for your family? What about when you have to fight for someone who you love the most in your life? And you're faced with the impossible situation, what are you going to choose? You have to choose Allah. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. He's letting us know that we need to render ourselves into submission, because that's the only way we're going to make it far. The only way we're going to be able to get truly what we need out of life, and truly what is going to make us people who go to Jannah, and truly what is going to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with us, is by submitting ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we learned from the beginning of the story. Now, there's a dua that is very important. And I find this dua to be so beautiful because it acknowledges two things. Sometimes we focus a lot on the person we used to be. And we say, okay, we just want to become better people. And we don't realize that in the journey of becoming better people, you can regress. There are times where you can take major missteps. There are times where you can do things in a way that is less than ideal, or something that you didn't think. You know, was the right, you didn't think that you were making the wrong decision, but it is the wrong decision. And so that dua that I want us to memorize, and you guys can repeat after me, is Ya Muqallibal Al-Qulubi Thabbit Qalbi Ala Deenik. It means, O turner of the hearts, keep my heart firm upon your religion. And the reason why this is so important is because the heart does turn. One day you can think something is so terrible, and the next day you can be what? Doing it. And so we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not turn our hearts in a way that's away from His path. The second thing is that it's so important for us to be honest with ourselves. And what that means is that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasibu, that a person should hold themselves accountable before they are held accountable. Look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, what are the things that I need to face and fix before it becomes worse? And what are the things that are maybe like in that red line? They're probably pretty bad, pretty not that great, that I need to fix before I am taken into account by Allah. And then the third thing is that a person is able to protect themselves by keeping their tongue moist with dhikr. Right? A person who does adhkar, it is important. Why? The Prophet says in the narration that shaitan sits on the corner of the heart of a believer. And whenever that person is not in the remembrance of Allah, that is when shaitan does his waswasa. So essentially, that all of the wrongs we end up falling into, an accident, it usually happens at a time when we're not really thinking about Allah. Because when we're thinking about Allah, then we're like, I don't know if that's something I should do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا, that those who are God-conscious and they're aware of Allah, إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, that whenever shaitan prompts them to do something, تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبَسِرُونَ, that they then remember Allah and they immediately see straight. Like, you're able to see clearly. And this is what happened with Yusuf alayhi salam. The first thing he said was what? Ma'adallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he would have been tempted, but he saw Burhan. He saw the evidence, and he saw that guidance, and he saw that clarity from Allah. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us all to benefit from everything that we've heard here today. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us all of our shortcomings. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be people who always walk in the right path. I pray that Allah SWT allows us to be people who stand firm on our deen, that Allah SWT allows us to be people who have hearts that are firm towards the path that He wants us to be on, that He continuously guides us in the best of ways. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. جزاك الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.